Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Kedushin, Mem, Dal, and we're Mem, Gimel, and Beis, and we're at the two dots, and we started this yesterday, but I don't mind starting again. This is the beginning of a new sugya, and we are now moving to the next part of the Mishnah, which is the father's ability to be Mekabel Kedushin. I was about to say get, but you'll see why. To be Mekabel Kedushin on behalf of his daughter. He has the right to be Mekabel Kedushin for his daughter when she's a Katana, when she's a Nara. Now, if you recall, go back to our Mishnah. So the Gemara made a deal in our Mishnah, and that is that the recommended age is Nara, right? You look back at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that Ish Mekadesh is Bito Kishihi Nara Bo Vishlucho. Now, really, the truth of the matter is that the Mishnah wanted to make the point regarding Shlichus, right? Because that's really the main point of our Mishnah. And since the Mishnah opened up, all we've been talking about is Shlichus. Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, Mem Gimel, we've been focused on the issue of Shlichus. And yesterday we were treated to probably one of the most popular sugyas, as I introduced yesterday, of Ein Shlichus Dvar Avera. But we did the sugya, we're done with the sugya. So now we're back to the Mishnah. And so the Mishnah told us that the father can be Mekabel Kiddushin for his daughter when she's a Nara. And the point of the Mishnah, the main point of the Mishnah, is that he can either do so himself or he can appoint a Shliach. And a Shliach can be Mekabel on his behalf, on his daughter's behalf. Right, if you're following well, in other words, obviously the father now is representing the daughter, so now he can get a representative to represent him, who's representing the daughter. Okay, that's fine. That's what our Mishnah taught us. The diuk we already saw in the opening Mishnah on Mem Aleph is that the preferable age when he should be marrying off his daughter is when she's a Nara, not when she's a Katana. Now he can marry off when she's a Katana, but it's not recommended. She's young, right? To say the least. But you could, and we already cited the Tosos, and yesterday I even went over the Tosos again. Tosos back on Daf Mem Aleph, Tosos, amazing Tosos. He says that during the Tkufa of the Balei HaTosos, we are in France and Germany, in centuries numbers 12 and 13 and 14, I would imagine. So the Balei HaTosos says they married off the girls. They married off the girls when they were very young, when they were Katana. The Gemara Mem Aleph did not recommend it. Yeah, in other words, but extenuating times calls for these kinds of circumstances. Okay, anyway, that was Tosfos back on Mem Aleph. Good. So we already covered all that. What are we going to be doing over the course of today's daf? So we're going to really talk about this idea that the father really is a representative of his daughter. We're going to talk about the relationship between father and daughter in this regard, and the father's ability to be Mekadesh Kedush, and then father in terms of the father's ability to be Mekabel Get. Now, we said this yesterday, and let's just say this again right now, as long as we're starting the sugya anew and fresh, and that is that while his daughter is either Katana or Nara, she's under his jurisdiction. This is a point that we've gone over time and again. This is Seder Nashim, but this is the end of Seder Nashim. So if you've been with us since the beginning of Seder Nashim, you've heard this point repeated again and again, right? I probably made the point numerous times. So she's under the jurisdiction of the father, which means that all of her earnings and all of her mitzvahs go to her father. The father has the right to be Mekadosh her up to and including her stage of Nairus. Once she graduates from being a Nara to a Bogeris, so that's it. Father no longer has the ability, doesn't have jurisdiction over her. And then we also have an idea in which is that once she's married off, so then she's also cut off from the father. But to be clear, she has to be married both stages. Right? This is a point I just want to make very clear. And that is that she has to go through Erisin and Nisuin as a minor. Now, I'm using the word minor over here so you can understand me both as a Katana and as a Nara. In other words, minor over here, meaning that while she's under the jurisdiction of the father, if she goes through both stages of marriage of both Erisin and Nisuin, so then that's it. Meaning at that point in time, even if the marriage terminates, death, divorce, even if the marriage terminates, she is at that point in time removed from the jurisdiction of the father. This is a point that we made numerous times. Good. With all that stated, so let's start with the Gemara. We did this Gemara yesterday, but let's do it again. Okay, there's a lot to keep hold over here. There's going to be a lot of moving parts of the sugya. I know already that I'm going to go a little too quickly through this, but as we discussed, all this is on record, and hopefully with some clarity, and that's what I always shoot for. And so if you are, in other words, if you feel like I missed a point, I missed a step, you can always go back, you can play it again. All right, so we do the following, and that is the Gemara right away, Tanan Hasam. So we are going to set ourselves up for a question. This is going to be an extraordinarily long setup. Over here, in order to set ourselves up, in other words, eventually what we're going to do is we're going to come back to our Mishnah. That's the goal. But in order to go back to our Mishnah, in other words, we wanted to make a point, but to get to the point, so we need a lot of setup. We're going to start with a Mishnah in Gittin. Tanan Azam Nara Marasa, Hivavi Makablanskita, Am Rav Yehuda, Einshte Yadayim Zochos Ke'echad, Elavi Makablanskita. Okay, so the Mishnah in Gittin, obviously focusing on the sugya, on the topic of get. So the Mishnah in Gittin tells us that when it comes to Nara Amarasa, so again, now she's at the stage of Nara, she only went through the first stage of marriage. So at this point in time, she is not removed from the jurisdiction of the father. And now, Rachmanis, this marriage is ending in a get. Okay, who is accepting the get? Oh, it's a very simple question. So according to the Tanakama, it could either be her or the father, either one of them. Now, we'll discuss more about what happens after that. But if I can, just right now, I'll say it simply, and that is that she goes back to the jurisdiction of the father. In other words, she's still a Nara, and she didn't go through both stages of marriage. So she's going to go back to the father. Who is the recipient of the get? What's the yad that can collect the get? So according to the Tanakhama, it can either be her or the father. And according to Rav Yehuda, no. Ein shtei yadayim zochos ke'echad. No. You can't have two addresses. In other words, there can only be one address. And elavia mekabos geta, according to Rav Yehuda, only the father. Okay. So it's a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda regarding who can receive her get at this stage. She's a Nara, Mi'urasa. Who can receive her get? So according to the Tanakhama, either her or the father. According to Rav Yehuda, only her. Sorry? According to Rav Yehuda, only the father. Okay. And then the Mishnah makes another point, which is not relevant to our discussion. And if she has no cognitive awareness and ability, she doesn't understand what divorce is. She can't even hold on to the get and protect it as an important document. So then she is not eligible for gerushin. Okay. It's a separate point. We did this in more detail. For our purposes right now, it's not relevant to our sugya. Obviously, it's still very important, but it's not relevant to our sugya. I'm Reish Lakish, and now here's the relevancy. So we just learned the Mishnah in Gittin regarding who can accept her get. Now, what about Kiddushin? Same discussion, different discussion. So I'm Reish Lakish, k'machlokas l'gerushin, k'machlokas l'kiddushin. So Reish Lakish says that whatever we said regarding gerushin is going to be true regarding Kiddushin as well, meaning it will be a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, in terms of who can accept her Kesef Kiddushin. According to the Chachamim, it will be either her or the father accepting her Kesef Kiddushin. And according to Rav Yehuda, it's only going to be the father, not her. Okay, good. And Rav Yochanan, Amar Machlokes, L'Gerushin, Avala Kiddushin, Devarakol, Aviyah V'lohi. And according to Rav Yochanan, the Machlokes is only by Gerushin, but when it comes to Kiddushin, according to everybody, so Aviyah V'lohi, only the father, not her. Okay. So that is the Shita of Rav Yochanan. According to Rav Yochanan, when we move to Kiddushin, it's a new discussion. It is not just a cut and paste discussion from Gerushin. It's a new discussion regarding Kiddushin. And that is that everyone would say, both the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, everyone would say that there's only one address to accept her Kesef Kiddushin, and that's that. Okay. Now, what the Gemara is going to do is try to understand Rav Yochanan. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, it's pretty straightforward. Whatever's true by Gerushin is going to be true by Kiddushin as well. And if I can also preview the upcoming Gemara, meaning for Reish Lakish, we also have a Hekesh. The Hekesh that we've repeated again and again throughout our Masechta, between Kiddushin and Gerushin, and basically what's true by one is true by the other. Okay. So in other words, for Reish Lakish, we don't have to work so hard to understand Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is relatively easy to understand. But now we move to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan is going to be a bit of a challenge. What is the svara for Rav Yochanan? The Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, my time of Rabbi Yochanan, Aliba de Rabbanan. So what is the svara for Rav Yochanan? Meaning according to the Chachamim. Now, everyone understand. Meaning according to Rav Yehuda, it's always going to be the father and only the father. So in other words, for Rav Yehuda, there's nothing to discuss. But according to Rav Yochanan, within the sheet of the Chachamim, now we have a difference between Gerushin and Kiddushin. By Gerushin, who can accept her get? Either her or the father. By Kiddushin, who can accept the get? Only the father. We have to understand that, or try to understand it. So the Gemara starts off with Svara number one. So Gerushin Machnes, Sasatz Malurishos Avia, Bein Hi Ovein Avia. So Kiddushin, Demafka Sasatz Malurishos Avia, Avia Velohi. Okay, so this is where we ended off yesterday. So the Gemara says, I'll start off with Svara number one. Svara number one is, well, let's look at the direction. Which direction are we going? So if what is happening over here is that she is going into the Rishus of her father, so then Ben Hi, Ben Aviyah. Now, of course, over here, we're describing Gerushin, right? You think about it, by the way, it makes perfect sense. Meaning that right now she is first stage married to another man. With the Gerushin, she's going to go back to her father. And again, she's going back to the father because she only went through the first stage of marriage. So now under those circumstances, so if all we're doing is returning her to the father, so then what difference does it make whether she accepts to get or whether the father accepts to get? The result is going to be that dad gets her back with the ability to go ahead and marry her off again. And all the other benefits, meaning all the other shvach ne'ureha by her. So good. So in other words, so it shouldn't make a difference. And it doesn't. On the other hand, by kiddushin, so mafkasat mam rishos aviyah. Well, that, of course, is now going to be the beginning stage of removing her from the jurisdiction of the father. So that can only be done with the consent of the father, but not just only the consent of the father, but only with the yad of the father. Meaning, since it's going to remove her from the domain of the father, so then the father, and only the father, can be mekabel kiddushin. Okay. The Hari Maimer, so good. So we have as far as sounds good, the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you the problem. The problem is what we know regarding Maimer. Now Maimer is going to remove her from the jurisdiction of the father. And we learned in the following Mishnah. Now, I stopped at this point yesterday quickly. We all know this. This is a Yavamos topic. And that is, what is Maimer? Maimer is Kiddushin for Yibum. Okay. In other words, by Yibum, so what is there? So there really is, basically, she is a Yavama. In other words, she lost her husband. She has a surviving brother-in-law. And now, what does the surviving brother do? What does the surviving brother-in-law do? So he marries her. In other words, they're together, they're intimate, and they are married. Okay, and that's it. Meaning, min ha-Torah, that's what it looks like. The Chachamim said, you know what? We would like this to look more like a formal marriage. And so therefore, they added a step. It's called Maimer. Right? We discussed this extensively back in Yevamos. And so this Maimer is like Kiddushin. It is a rabbinically instituted step in the Yibum marriage. So that Yibum now looks a little bit more like a formal marriage. Good. So now, what do we know regarding Maimer? Tanan, so here we are. So, Katana. Okay, so she is a minor and she's a Shomeres Yavam, which means already that at a really young age, she's gone through an unbelievable life experience already. She's married. She's widowed. She's now looking towards her Yavam to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, that's a lot of life at a very young age, but doesn't matter. So, Katana, min Erusin. So, Ein Osin, Ba Maimer, Elamidas Aviyah. So, if she's a Ketana Min Erusin, so that means to say, right, everyone understand, so this is where it gets complicated because there's just so many things you gotta, in other words, so many details we gotta get right. And that is that not only she was a widow, but she was a widow only from Erusin, not from Nisuin. Right. Because if she was a widow from Erusin and Nisuin, so at that point in time, she's totally cut off from the father. So she's a widow only from Erusin, not from Nisuin. And now she's waiting for Yibum. And now what Maimer is going to do is it's going to remove her from her father's jurisdiction. So now, Ketana min Erusin, Ein Osin ba Maimer Lemidas Aviyah. So if she is a Ketana at this stage, so then it can only be done with dad's consent. However, Hanara, Beimidas Atzma, Beimidas Aviyah. But if she is a Shomeres Yavam widow, that's just redundant. But I'm trying to be clear. If she's a Shomeres Yavam, and she's a Nara, and she is a widow only from Erusin. And again, I know there are a lot of moving parts over here. So, and now she is going to be accepting Maimer from one of her brother-in-laws. Or just let's make it simpler. There's one surviving brother-in-law. And now she's accepting Maimer from a surviving brother-in-law. So who can accept the Maimer? So it could either be her, or it could be the father as well. Now, you'll notice that over here that there are four parenthetical words. Let's hold off on those four parenthetical words. Okay, what comes out over here is as follows. Now, we just learned that together, that Maimer, which is removing her from the domain of her father, so who can do it? It could either be her, it could be the father. Wait one second. We just offered a svaria within Rav Yochanan. We try to understand Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, you make a distinction between Gerushin and Kiddushin. What's the distinction? Gerushin brings her back to the domain of the father, and Kiddushin removes her from the domain of the father. And so over here, Maimer is doing the latter, not the former. And so what we should expect to see is that within Maimer, so who should be the address for Maimer should only be dad. That's what we should expect to see. And meanwhile, that's not the case. Meanwhile, by Maimer, we see clearly here in this Brisa that Maimer can be done either by her or by dad. Ah. So we're going to come back to those four parenthetical words. But Ela Yidmar Hachi Yidmar. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do now is that we're going to have a second attempt, meaning we're going to try to understand Rav Yochanan differently. I'm Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina, my time at the Rav Yochanan. So Aliba de Rabbanan. So here we go now with round two. A second svara in terms of understanding Rav Yochanan, and that is Kiddushin de Midaita Aviyah Velohi. Okay, so when it comes to Kiddushin, that is Midaita. Kiddushin can only be done with her consent, as we've gone over time and again since the beginning of the Masechta. And that is that you can only be a Mekadesh, a woman, with her consent. So in that, under those circumstances, so now you need her consent. And I know this is going to sound a little bit counterintuitive, but because I need her consent, so therefore, who can accept Kiddushin? Only that. Remember, while she's a Ketana, while she's a Nara, she's under the jurisdiction of the father. In other words, the father is her representative, period. Period. Considering that that's the case, so now, as a Nara, because I need her consent, so therefore, dad is representing her, so therefore, you can only negotiate with dad. Okay? And I know it sounds a little bit strange, but that's the argument that the Gemara is making. This is now our second possible argument. So, Aviyah Velohi. However, Gerushin de Balkarcha, Benhi Ben Aviyah, but when it comes to Gerushin, so Gerushin can be done against her will. We've discussed this also time and again, back in Masechtas Gittin, and also here in Kiddushin. We made this point numerous times, that Gerushin can be done even without her consent. Now, I'm going to remind everybody that there's a Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom, which we've also gone over numerous times. Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom, which he lived around 11th, 12th century. So he made a cherem that you are not to divorce a woman against her will. But put that aside for now. In other words, Aliba de Gemara, according to the strict letter of the law, a woman can be divorced against her will. So now she can be divorced against her will. So now I don't need her consent. And therefore, there could be either her hand or the father's hand to accept the gerushin. The gerushin of Bakarcha, bein hi bein aviyah. Okay. So in other words, so whether or not there's a requirement of consent or there's no requirement of consent. Kiddushin, there is a requirement of consent, therefore that can only negotiate with the father. But by Gerushin, since there's no requirement of consent, so therefore you could deposit the get either by her or by the father. Okay. This is going to be our second svar in terms of understanding Rav Yochanan according to the Chachamim. With that stated, Hare Maimer de Midaita, Viketani Bein Hiyo Bein Aviyah. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to Maimer. What do we know? Well, we learned the Brice on the top of the Amud, that by Maimer, so who can accept Maimer, either her or the father? Now, Maimer de Midata, Maimer is now only with her consent. At least that's what we think right now. And Ketani Bein Hiyo Bein Aviyah. And we said either her or the father. Now, you just told me that when there's consent necessary, so then dad and only dad. And by Maimer, I think there's consent necessary. At least that's what we're proposing right now. And meanwhile, the Braisa taught us it could be her or dad. Okay, so how some? By Maimer de Balkarcha. So we're talking about Maimer that was done without her consent. Maimer can be done without her consent? Yeah, according to Rebbe. The Rebbe, he did Tanya, who said Maimer bivim to Shlomi, dat to Rebbe, omer kana b'chacham, emrem lo kana. Does non-consent Maimer work? Yes or no? Machlokas. According to Rebbe, non-consent Maimer works. According to the Chachamim, non-consent Maimer does not work. So over here, when the Braisa was talking about Maimer, it was talking about non-consent Maimer, according to Rebbe. And then while we're here, we're going to do what we did back in Yavamos, and that is we're just going to explain these two positions. So my time, the Rebbe Gamar mi bia di Yavama ma bia di Yavama balkarcha hachinami balkarcha. And according to Rebbe, look, Maimer is a step towards Yibum. Yibum, do you need her consent? No, you don't need her consent. I know if this is the first time you're hearing this, okay, that may sound a little bit shocking. But if you learn Yavamos, right, we did it together not so long ago. So it's not so shocking because that's the halacha. The halacha is that the mitzvah of Yibum can be done even without her consent. Okay. But in other words, so if Yibum can be done without her consent, and Maimer is a step towards Yibum, so Maimer also can be done without her consent. That's according to Rebbe. And V'rabbanan, Savri Yafinan, Mikidushin, Makidushin, Maitaita, Afacharami, Demidaita. Now, the Chachamim's argument would be like this. Look, what is Maimer? It's a rabbinically added step in Yibum. Now, where did the Chachamim get the idea of Maimer from? They got it from Kiddushin. So in other words, what they want to do is they want to have it mimic like Kiddushin. Well, Kiddushin is only consensual, so Maimer is only consensual. Gemara says exactly this point. But Maimer Miflgi, Rabbi Savra, Mila Diyavama, Miyavama, Havala Lamelef, V'Rabbanan Savra, Kiddushin, Mikiddushin, Havala Lamelef. And basically, the Machlokas is that this added step of Maimer. So is it going to take on more of a Yibum form, or is it going to take more of a Kiddushin form? So that is the debate between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So, but with all that stated, so now we're giving in Ukimta in the Braisa. When the Braisa says Mimer, it means non-consent Mimer. And with only within the Shita Rebbe. Hachinami Mistar, but the Gemara says, and makes sense, Kid to Kamataris Rebbe Yochanan, Migdiktani Sefer, Mashayn came with Kiddushin. And oh, by the way, now we can unpackage and reveal the end of the Braisa. Meaning, if you look at the top of the Amud, right, and now we can look at the parenthetical note, right? Ketan, I'm reading the brisa from the top line of this amud. Ketanim in erusin einosim ba maimer ala midas avia, comma vehanara be midas atzma be midas avia. Maimer can be accepted by either her or by her father. And now next four words, mashein kim bekedushin. The brisa ends with the words mashein kim bekedushin. It's only parenthetical earlier because the Gemara didn't want to disclose that yet. But now the Gemara wants to unpackage the entire Braisa. Masha'en came be Kedushin. Oh, Masha'en came be Kedushin. So if you're Rav Yochanan, so what are you hearing? You're hearing, basically, it's music to your ears, according to Rav Yochanan. So because according to Rav Yochanan, what is the story by Kedushin? Meaning, Anara by Kedushin. According to Rav Yochanan, there's only one person that can accept her kes of Kedushin, and that's dad. Not her or dad, only dad. And the Bryce is making exactly that point. The Bryce says that when it comes to Naira and Mimer, so it could either be her or dad. Masha'in came be Kiddushin, where it's only dad. No. So this Bryce is definitely what seems to be a substantial proof to the Shita of Rav Yochanan. So Ella named it to the Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, okay. And so now, here's where I'm a little bit stuck. And that is, where's Reish Lakish going to fit in all this? You'll remember, according to Reish Lakish, there is no difference by Kiddushin and Gerushin. According to Reish Lakish, Gerushin, Machlok is between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim say two addresses, her or dad. According to Rabbi Yehuda, one address, only dad. And that's true both on the side of Kiddushin and on the side of Gerushin. So over here, according to Reish Lakish, what are you going to do with the Braisa? So the Gemara says, I'm looking at Reish Lakish, Hamani. So Rabbi Yehuda, Hidamar, Ein Shtei Yadam, Zochos Ka'achas. So what Rabbi Yehuda will tell you is that, look, I have a Braisa. We don't know who the author of the Braisa is. So here's what I'll tell you. I'll argue that the author of the Braisa is none other than Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's only one address, and that is dad. So E Rabbi Yehuda, Masha'en kein b'kedusha, Masha'en kein b'gerushin mi ba'elei. Oh, so that's interesting. So if the Braisa was going like Rabbi Yehuda, where did Rabbi Yehuda principally state this position? By kedushin? No. Rabbi Yehuda principally stated this position by gerushin. Kiddushin is just simply going to be a totsa'a. That's just going to be a result of Gerushin. But in other words, according to Rav Yehuda, principally, this idea that there's only one Yad, and that's the Yad of the father, that was taught by Gerushin. So what the Braisa really should have said is Masha'in Kein B'Gerushin. So the Gemara's answer is Enachinami. So I did the Tani Maimer, the Damila Kiddushin, Tami Nami Masha'in Kein B'Gerushin. You're right, but still, what was the Braisa primarily interested in teaching us about Mimer? What is Mimer more similar to, Gerushin or Kiddushin? Well, that's easy. Mimer is much more similar to Kiddushin, right? In fact, the institution of Mimer is basically patterned after Kiddushin. So in other words, as long as the Braisa was on the topic of Mimer, so therefore, when we're saying Masha'en Kein, we want a contrast, so the better contrast, of course, is contrasting it to Kiddushin, not to Gerushin. So, So Rav Yehuda Mishnah Mimer. Oh, so the Gemara says, okay, great. So now, let's defend Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, our defense of Reish Lakish is, I know we just cited a Braisa. And the Braisa says that for Kiddushin, there's only one Yad, and that's dad. Good. And that's true by Kiddushin, according to Reish Lakish. It's true by Gerushin, according to Reish Lakish. Great. So now, I'll ask you a simple question. So if the Braisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and there's only one Yad to accept Kiddushin, dad. And there's only one Yad to accept Gerushin, also dad. So then, Mimer? Meaning now comes out that according to Rav Yehuda, well, Mimer is different. And the Gemara wants, and Mimer, who can accept her Mimer? Either her or dad. Well, that's weird, isn't it? That's the Gemara's next point. So Rav Yehuda, Maishna Mimer. So Ho Vizukuka Viomedes. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why Mimer is different. You know why Mimer is different? Because what is Mimer? Well, it's a rabbinic institution, as we already went over. But Mimer is already reinforcing a pre-existing relationship. Meaning, we all know. We've gone over this time and again. Where is she right now in life? She was married. Rachmanis, she became widowed. And now there's a surviving brother. There is already a Zika bonding her and her brother-in-law. So that Zika is a quasi-marriage. And in Yevamos, we discussed at length how much of a quasi-marriage is that. But for our purposes right now, all we need to remember is that the Zika already is a quasi-marriage. So Maimer is now overlapping on top of the Zika. And then ultimately, Yibum is going to overlap on top of that. But in other words, she's already Zikuka ve'omedes. So now that there's already a relationship, so who can accept now her Maimer? So what Reish Lakish will say on behalf of Rav Yehuda is, here, I'm going to introduce that right now, she also has a hand. She has a yad as well. Anyway, she's already partially married. That Zika already is a partial marriage. So here in such a situation, I will say that she also has a yad in order to accept her Maimer. So the Gemara says, oh, fantastic. Meaning, you've defended Reish Lakish. You, not only that, you've explained how it is that Maimer can be different than Kiddushin. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says, you know what? That argument is such an outstanding argument. I could take that argument and move it right to the front of the line. Let's go all the way back. So Rabbi Yochanan, namelo tikshalach miikara. Meaning, now, remember, we were bothered by Rabbi Yochanan at the beginning of the entire sugya. Meaning, we try to give an argument for Rabbi Yochanan. What was the argument for Rabbi Yochanan? Argument number one, why is there a difference between Kiddush and Gerushin? Direction. By Kiddushin, you're removing her from the father. By Gerushin, you're bringing her back to the father. That was the original argument. And then the Gemara was bothered. Why? Because of the story of Maimer and the halacha regarding Maimer. Oh, but now we just introduced, you know, Maimer is fundamentally different because Maimer is already working with an existing relationship, right? A quasi-marriage because of Zika. Oh, once we've shown that Maimer is different, so then we can go back to argument number one, distinction number one, and say that that distinction is perfectly good. What about Maimer? Maimer's different. That's exactly the Gemara's point. Shani Maimer holds the Kruk of Omen. That's good. Okay. And like I said at the beginning of today's daf, that was a lot of buildup. That was a lot of setup. The Gemara spent almost an entire Amud setting ourselves up. Okay, before we go a step further in the Gemara, let's pause at this point in time and let's quickly recap and reset so that we have everything in place. We have a Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah in Gittin tells us that when she's an Ara Marasa and Rachmana, she's going through now a divorce, who is the address? Who are you handing the divorce to? So according to the Chachamim, you're handing the divorce, you're handing the get either to her or to dad. According to Rav Yehuda, you're only handing it to dad. There is no shtei yadayim. It's only one yad and you're going to hand it to dad. That's a machlokus between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. Now, let's take that machlokus. Does it transpose over to Kiddushin? Depends who you ask. If I ask Rav Yochanan, it does not transpose over to Kiddushin. By Kiddushin, only one person can receive Kesef Kiddushin, and that's going to be dad, period. Masha'inkin, according to Reish Lakish, whatever the machlokus was by Gerushin, that's the machlokus that we have by Kiddushin as well. Good? And then we just spent the last 20 minutes, let's say, just trying to flesh out how we're going to deal with this Mishnah, how we're going to deal with that Braisa, how we're going to deal with Maimer. Okay, and basically the Gemara does what the Gemara does. Just wants to make sure that each position is a defendable position. They are. Now that we're here, Tanan Hassam. Now what we get to do is we get to go back to our Mishnah. I didn't mean the word Hassam. I just made it, whatever, just came out. Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah. So all this now is going to bring us back to our Mishnah. Oh, so our Mishnah says that when your daughter's an Ara, so you dad can send out a shliach in order to marry her off. Good. And now the diuk in our Mishnah is going to be so simple. Bo uvishlucha in, ba uvishlucha lo, uti yufta de Reish Lakish. Ah, so now, who can send out a shliach? Dad can send out a shliach. Who can't send out a shliach? Well, she can't send out a shliach. Now, the Mishnah didn't say that, but the Mishnah had an opportunity to say that. The Mishnah didn't say that. It's a diuk. It's a simple diuk in the Mishnah that only dad can go ahead and send out a shliach because dad and only dad can accept Kesef Kedushin on her behalf. Huh. So if that's the case, so this is a shout out to Rav Yochanan. It's a support to Rav Yochanan because according to the Rav Yochanan, according to the Chachamim, once you get into the arena of Kedushin, dad and only dad can accept Kesef Kedushin. Okay, good. So that's what it would sound like. The defense of Reish Lakish, we already know it. Because we already saw the Gemara do this maneuver, and we get to do it again. So the defense of Reish Lakish would be, our Mishnah here in Kiddushin, that's Reb Yehuda. Meaning again, the Mishnah is anonymous. We don't know who the author of the Mishnah is. So what I'll say, says Reish Lakish, in defense of my position, is that our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Reb Yehuda. Okay. And now, next part is admittedly going to be a little bit complicated, but basically, can we do that? Can we have our Mishnah aligned with Reb Yehuda? So what we're going to do is we're going to quote the upcoming Mishnah. The upcoming Mishnah seems not to be like Reb Yehuda, and so therefore, the Gemara is going to try to see whether or not this is in fact a fair defense on behalf of Reish Lakish. Umi matzis mukman laka Reb Yehuda v'hakatani. The Gemara says, now consider the following, and that is the Mishnah coming up later in our perek. So Seifa, Seifa just simply means a later Mishnah. We're going to see this Mishnah a couple days from now in Daf Mem Vav. Ha'omer Lisha is kashli b'tamar zu. So what you do is you hand your future wife a date, not just a date, but multiple dates. And if you don't mind, by the way, I'm going to insert dad pun over here because that's why I'm here. And you know what I mean? And he hands her the date and he says, how about a date? But, okay, fine. Thank you. Of course not. Now the problem over there is that right now, in other words, in order for the Kedushin to work, so one of those dates must have the value of a pruta, as we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, right? You can only be Mekadosh a woman with Kesef or Shava Kesef, and it must be the value of a pruta. So every date that you gave her was, you know, Shvach date. But as long as one of those dates are valued of a pruta, so then the Kedushin would be good. Now, over there in that Mishnah, in that Sugya, so we get to a linguistic issue, a question of language. In other words, he's kashli bazu, and he's kashli b'tamar zu, and then he's kashli bazu. Every date that you handed her, you reissued the verbiage of you're going to be mikashmi with this, you're going to be mikashmi with this. Now, v'yamina mantana, the fact that the Mishnah, the only way it's going to work is that with every date that you give her, you reissue the statement of he's kashli bazu, then and only then it's going to work. Meaning, here's what you can't do. You can't, at least according to the Mishnah, you can't say he's kashli bazu and just start handing her one date after another date after another date. And maybe one, in other words, and we're assuming, of course, that one of those dates have to be a Sheva Pruta. It doesn't work.
What could be cumulative?
It could be. But in other words, as far as that Mishnah is concerned, that Mishnah requires a new pronouncement with every date being offered. Now, why? So Mantana, that's exactly the Gemara's question. Why? So Mantana, his Kaddishi. Why does there have to be a new pronouncement every single time? I'm a Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon. So again, this is a discussion we're going to see at Mem Vav. This is a preview. And that is that Mishnah is going like the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Amar Achi Amar Shvul Echol Echav Echad. Okay, Shvul Sepikadon. Right? A number of people are making claims against you. We deposited by you. Where is it? So there were numerous claims made against him, and he made a shvua against all the claims that were made against him. Now, if he happened to have lied while making the shvua, so there's a special carbon that one needs to bring. Okay, that's enough background for us to know right now. So in other words, in order to be mechayev him, multiple karbanos, so how does that shvua have to sound like? According to Rav Shimon, an individual shvua to each one of the complaints. Then and only then are you going to be chayev multiple karbanos. Okay? Happens to be that we've gone over this machlokas also numerous times throughout Shas. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah coming up on Mem Vav, that's a reflection of Rabbi Shimon. V'chite makula Rabbi Yehuda per prati sever like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay, I don't know what the problem is. Meaning, can't we argue that really, fundamentally, the Mishnayos are going like Rabbi Yehuda? Again, we're defending Reish Lakish. The Mishnayos are going like Rabbi Yehuda. But on this particular issue, maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Shimon. Is that crazy to say? So the Gemara says, yeah. That is crazy to say. So the Gemara says, okay, but meanwhile we have a brisa regarding shvuah sapikadon, and the brisa goes like this: Zaklal. Here's the rule, and that is klal enu chayv al achas. If I make one general shvuah against all the All the people complaining against me, lodging a formal complaint. Where's my pikado? And I make one general shvua, so then I'm chayv alachas. I'm only chayv one carbon shvua. However, parat chayv kol achas v'achas divrei Rabbi Meir. But if I go ahead and I specify, I don't know you and you and you and you, and I individualize and I deny every person individually, so then you're going to be chayv a carbon for each one. That's Rabbi Meir. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer shvua lo lach. Lo lach, lo lach. Okay, probably lo lacha. Anyway, doesn't matter. So, but in other words, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, so I have to say not to you, not to you, not to you. Chayva kol achas v'achas. Okay. So the key part is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, no vav, right? Lo lach, right? Let's put a comma. Lo lach. Let's put another comma. Lo lach. So that individualizes my shvuos, which now means I'm chayv on each one. Okay. Rabbi Elazar Omer, right? We just have two more sheets to go through. Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, v'lo lecha shivua. So then chayv on kol achas v'achas. Okay, in other words, you have to say, you have to put the denial, the shvua after the denial, then and only then is the shvua going to be modifying each one of the denials, and then you're going to be chayv on each one. This is a very technical debate over here regarding how the karbonos get individualized. And then finally, last and not least, is that Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Amar La'olam Einu Chayv Ad She'yamar Shvua L'chol Echa V'Echad. According to Rabbi Shimon, there must be a separate Shvua to each one of the complaints. I swear I don't know you. I swear I don't know you. Then and only then, according to Rabbi Shimon, are we going to break it up for multiple karbon liabilities. Okay. Even if you did not get all the details over here, what for sure is clear is that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda are not in agreement. Because in this Braisa, there are four opinions in the Braisa, and two of those opinions are Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So to simply say, well, our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda, but on this issue of individualization, well, maybe Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yehuda. We just established he doesn't. So the Gemara says, Ella. Okay, the Gemara says, fine. I'm with you. I'm still going to defend Reish Lakish. So Kula Rabbi Shimon, Yivashlichus Avalaka Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, so simple. I don't know about really simple, but simple. Meaning, what I'll say is that the string of Mishnayos over here in Kiddushin, the Mishnah we just learned, the Mishnah we're about to learn in Memvav. So really, all those Mishnayos go like Rabbi Shimon, and we know what Rabbi Shimon's position is regarding individualization. You have to make a separate statement for each one. We know that. And then, as far as Shlichus is concerned, so Rabbi Shimon subscribes to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. That we could say. Meaning, on the topic of Klal versus Prat, we know Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon. But on the topic of Shlichus, it could very well be that Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll string our Mishnayos together like Rabbi Shimon, and we'll just simply offer that by Shlichus he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. I'm going to admit that part was tricky. Or that was a tricky way. But all this was in service of defending Reish Lakish. Okay. What just happened in the Gemara right over here? We just defended Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, both in Gerushin and in Kedushin, what comes out? Sorry. Both in Gerushin and in Kedushin, what comes out is that we have a machlok. Well, let's do that again. By Gerushin, we have a machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, who, when she's a Nara, and she only went through Erusin, and who's accepting the get, according to the Chachamim, it's either her or dad. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only dad, not her. Now, take that machlokes, move it over to Kiddushin. According to Reish Lakish, Hainuhach, same machlokes. According to Rabbi Yochanan, not the same machlokes. Rather, according to Rabbi Yochanan, dad and only dad. Dad is the only address that can accept the Kesef Kedushin at this stage, when she is a Nara. Why should that be? So, over the course of the last Daf, Mem Gimel, today's Daf, Mem Dalin, so we offer two explanations on behalf of Rav Yochanan in terms of how to understand it. And why are we bringing it up over here? So we're bringing it up over here because our Mishnah seems to be in favor of Rav Yochanan's viewpoint, although we just went through the exercise of the Gemara, in which we could defend Reish Lakish. And we did. We're almost done with the sugya. Rabbi Yossi, lo ala bei medrasha. Funny introduction to this last part, and that is Rabbi Yossi did not go to Beis Medrash. Okay, he skipped a day. So Ashkechel Rabbi Zera, amalei my amor hayin bei medrasha. So he turns to Rabbi Zera, new, Can you catch me up? Like, what happened? What happened today in yeshiva? So Am Rele Af Ana Lo Ayel. So Rabbi Zera says, okay, admission. I didn't go either. Okay, good. So two people who didn't go to Beis Medrash. So Rabbi Avin, who the Ayel. Okay, fine. So they're looking now for someone who went to Beis Medrash, right? In other words, they missed, and they want to know what they missed. So they turn to Rabbi Avin. Amar Chavrusa Chavrusa Kula to Rabbi Yochanan. So according to Rabbi Avin, here's what happened. You know what they were discussing today in Shir? So they were discussing the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, in terms of transposing the machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda from Gerishin over to Kedushin, meaning our topic, and everyone sided with Rabbi Yochanan. The entire Beis Medrash was in favor of Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. Vitzavach Reish Lakish. Now it happens to be that Reish Lakish was in the Beis Medrash, and he was very unhappy, and he was screaming, Ki kruchya, screaming like a rooster. Okay, I know that's an unusual way to describe, you know, the Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish defense, but okay, he was screaming, and what was he screaming? V'yatzavahaisa, v'lekadash kachbe, and he was screaming hekesh. Right? How many times in our masechta did we employ this hekesh? So, in other words, in the same pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse, so you have both Gerishin and you have Kedushin, making a hekesh between the two. We've employed that hekesh numerous times in our masechta. Reish Lakish feels that this is another arena in which we should employ the hekesh. Period. Period. So whatever is true regarding Gerishin should also be true by Kedushin as well, in terms of whether or not the yad is hers and dad's, or whether or not the yad is only dad. Wherever you stand by Gerishin should be true by Kedushin as well. Good. The hekesh. And as far as everyone else is concerned, lo ashkach bei. They didn't pay any attention to Reish Lakish, meaning they didn't accept his argument over here. Now, it's only fair to ask, why? Why didn't they accept it? The Gemara does not present. Although, over the course of today's daf, we already have two svaras in terms of why you would argue. So, Amar Lei, Rabbi Avin Bar Samchu. So Rabbi Avin, who is presenting us all this information. Can we count on him? Can we rely on him? Meaning, I know he was in the Beis Medrash today. That part's good. But like, in other words, do you really feel like he understands and he's translating what happened in Shir to us properly? So in, the Gemara says, yeah. So, Kemin Yamal Tignahu. Yeah, he's absolutely bar samcha. It's like fish on the grill. Okay, the Gemara over here is an analogy. In other words, right, you go fishing, right? You catch the fish, you have the grill right there. And the grill's ready to go. And you take the fish freshly caught, you put it right on the grill. Okay. I'm hungry. Okay, good. Okay, good. So in other words, right, we caught him right out of Shia. He got this information fresh, and yes, you can absolutely rely on him. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Ana, lo Rabbi Avin bar Rabbi Chia, velo Rabbi Avin bar Kahana, el Rabbi Avin Stam. Which Rabbi Avin are we talking about? So the Gemara pinpoints exactly which of Rabbi Avin. There are multiple Rabbi Avin, so the Gemara just wants to make sure that we know accurately which Rabbi Avin. The Gemara says, that's great. Lamai nafkimina. And why do I care exactly? So, lemirma, didei. When you have a shita and you're attaching a shita to a name, so in other words, you want that person to be consistent, and if you find inconsistency, we're gonna call them out an inconsistency. And so therefore, when we know which Rabbi Avin we're talking about, so then we're going to compare notes to all other things that were stated by Rabbi Avin to make sure that he's consistent. Okay. We're doing great, although that was just the first side of today's daf. Bamine Rava Mi Rav Nachman. Here we go now, our next topic for today. Okay, we're just going to get to the two dots. And then we'll call it a day. Maushitas Shlech Kabbal Gita Miyad Bala. I did leave out the first word. It's important. Let's do that again. Nara. Okay, now, Anara has a yad, at least according to the Chachamim. So according to the Chachamim, the Nara has a yad. So can she make a shliach in order to be mekabel her get? Yes or no? Meaning, we already know that according to the Chachamim, there are shtei yados, or shtei yadayim. Okay? I was corrected earlier this morning, so I get to correct myself. So shtei yadayim. So they're shtei yadayim to be mekabel the get. It's either going to be dad or it's going to be her. Okay. And now with that stated, so we know dad can make a shlech to be mekabel the get. That part we know. Can she make a shliach to be mekabel the get using her yad? And really, okay, this is now conceptually fascinating. When we say that she has a yad to be mekabel get, what we're really doing is this is analysis on what is her yad. Meaning, is she, well, the Gemara is going to say. So, yad avia damya, okay, chaser avia damya. When she has the ability to accept the get, she's doing so as an extension of the father or as an extension of the father. Now, the way I just said it is not helpful. It's not helpful. But in other words, because obviously the Gemara used two different terminologies, and obviously we want to be sensitive to those two terminologies. So let's sensitize ourselves to the two terminologies. One possibility is that she's a yad of the father. In other words, that she is an extended hand of the father. That's one possibility. Alternatively, she's a chaser of the father. In other words, when handing the get to her, she has a yad, but basically that she is part of the property of the father. Okay, I'm not talking about ownership over here. In other words, she is not owned by the father, but in other words, she's in the jurisdiction of the father. As such, her hand now is basically considered as part and parcel of dad's reach, but not in terms of yad, but in terms of chatzer. So the Gemara says, so look what's going to happen now. So, so is she an extended hand of the father? As such, the father can make a shliach, she can make a shliach. Or maybe no. Maybe her being an extension of the father is not an extended hand, but just an extended chatzer of the father. In that, when she receives a get, it's like the get now is landed in the chatzer of the father. She is halachically... All right. So she is halachically the chatzer of the father. Now, as Ben points out, that's going to now inform us in terms of this question. Can she set up a shliach? Well, if she is a yad, so then that means to say that she can actively receive the get, so she can set up a shliach. If on the other hand, she's only a chatzer halachically, so then she can't set up a shliach. Good. The Gemara says, as much as I love this formulation, it's not right. But I loved it. So umi misafke le Rava ha v'ham Rava kasev get nasim biyad avda. So yashin mishmar Torah is a get. So near ain't no get. So what happens is that you write a get for a woman and you hand it to her shifcha kananis. So now is that going to work? In other words, her shifcha kananis is her chatzer. Depends if the awake or asleep. Okay, I know it sounds funny, but we've gone over this before. If the shifcha kananis is awake, it doesn't work. Why? Because even though the Shifcha Kananis is a chatzer, but it's a chatzer, which is, well, the Gemara is going to say it. So, Nera Amayinu Ged, Dehavilei Chatzer Meshemer Shalol Ladata. So, in other words, once the Shifcha Kananis is awake, so it is a chatzer, but Eino Meshemer Shalol Ladata. When we did the eighth parak of Gittin, right, not that long ago. So, in other words, yes, you put it in a chatzer for her in order for her to receive the get. Yes, that works, but it has to be a chatzer HaMishtameres. That's what we hammered in the eighth parak of Gittin. So over here, when you're handing it to her Shifcha Kananis and the Shifcha Kananis is awake, not a Chatzer Mishtameris. Isakadatcha Chatzer Avia Damya, Kimatagitliyada Namilotigaresh, Davila Chatzer Mishtameris Lodasavia. And that's why we have to reject the idea that she's a Chatzer of the father. Because if in fact she was a Chatzer of the father, so then that she would be a Chatzer Eino Mishtameris. And therefore it wouldn't work. Much like when you handed the get to her Shifcha Kananis, who is awake, it doesn't work. If she is but just a chatzer of the father, it doesn't work. No. So Elalolam Shitalei, Dechiyad Avi Adamya, V'hachi Kami Bailei. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to go back to our new way to propose this. And that is that the daughter is a yad. She's a yad. But Mi Alima Kiyad Avi L'Shavi Iyashliach Olam. So the Gemara says, as much as we're saying that she's an extension of the father, and she is an address where she can be mekabel of the get, and even though she's a yad of the father, but to what degree is she a yad? Is she a yad of the father where she has all the rights that the father has? The father can set up a shlich, she can as well, or maybe no. Maybe she is yad junior partner, yad. Limited yad, in that she is a yad of the father, but she can't set up a shlich. Okay, so this is a much more nuanced way to say it over. This is not as fundamental as originally proposed, but the original proposal simply doesn't work. So we have to go with this very nuanced difference between yad major versus yad minor. Okay. So Amar Lei, Eino Seshliach. Okay, so The Gemara without really dealing with the analysis, but the Gemara says, no, she can't make a shliach.
Cannot.
Thanks for the clarification. Cannot. Right? Ain osa shliach. So Eitzvei, the Gemara says, okay, so what about what we learned in Gittin? Ketana shamar iskabal agiti eno get. Ashi agia get liadam. So you have a ketana. This is a Mishnah in Gittin. And the so the get is not going to be good get until the get gets to her hand. So, hanara. Now, the diuk over there in that Mishnah is that had she been hanara, her raise a get. The get would work even though it hasn't gone to her hand, i.e., she appointed a shliach, i.e., the shliach works for her. And you're telling me that she can't make a shliach, so how are you going to learn that Mishnah in Gittin? So, Achabem, my skin and b'shein la'av. So the Gemara says the Mishnah in Gittin is talking about where she has no father. Where she has no father, of course now she can make a shliach because she's the only address for the get. So the Gemara says, Hamid diktani seifa, really, really, that Mishnah over there is talking about where there's no dad? I want to show you the entire Mishnah. And you tell me. So Hamid diktani seifa, look at that Mishnah over there. Im amar aviha. Now, if dad said, Sid v'kaba get li biti im rasa ha'ba lachzer bo lo yachzer. Michal d'resha b'diyesh la'av askinan. If dad goes ahead and appoints the shliach, so then once the get gets into the hand of the shliach, that's it. It's irrevocable. Right? The get is done. It's been activated. So clearly over there, there is a dad in the picture. You want to tell me that Mishnah is talking about where there's no dad? Chesur mechzer v'achi ketani. The Gemara says, all right, here's what I'll say. Here's how we'll learn that Mishnah. There's a little chunk missing in that Mishnah. We'll learn it like this. Ketana, shamiz kabel giti eno get. If the katana says that, I want the shliach to be mekabel the get for me, the get's not good. Asher giget liada. Hanara harez the get. But if it's a nara, that then the get would be a good get. Bamed devar mamurim. But that's when and only when kishen la'av, when there's no father. Aval yesh la'av, but once there's a father, v'amar aviyat seve kabalibiti gita v'rotza ba lachzor lo yachzor. So then once there's a dad, dad and only dad can appoint a shliach. Period. That's how we'll learn the Mishnah over there. So in other words, so, ken a nara marasa, who, according to the Chachamim, has a yad to be mekabel the get. That part we know. Can she appoint a shliach? And the way the Gemara prefers to say it is that she is a yad of the father, but yad minor, not yad major. So can she appoint a shliach? And the Gemara's conclusion is no. The Mishnah over there, right, the Gemara taught us how to read that Mishnah over there. Okay. We are going to stop over here. We'll pick it up, obviously, tomorrow. Okay, recap and review. Okay, our big topic today was when you have a Nara Marasa. So in terms of her ability to receive Kiddushin, does she have an ability to receive Kesef Kiddushin? So according to Rav Yochanan, no. According to Reish Lakish, it's Machlokas, Tanayim. And so what's the svar behind Rav Yochanan? The Gemara offered two svars behind Rav Yochanan. And then in no short order, the Gemara discussed this Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish debate from Mem Gimel Amud Beis, where we started this morning, all the way to the bottom of Mem Dal Amud Aleph. Right? An Amud and a half of Gemara dedicated to this particular topic. Good. And then the last, second topic, and the last topic we discussed today was that when a Nara Marasa has the ability to accept a get, according as per the view of the Chachamim, so can she appoint a Shliach in order to receive that get? And the Gemara's conclusion is no. In other words, even though she's a Yad of the Father, but a minor Yad, not a major Yad.